evening as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. This evening, we're going to have a lesson. There's going to be more than one. It's going to be from time to time. We are going to be looking at the book of Psalms. 150 Psalms. A lot of lessons to be learned in those 150 Psalms. Practical lessons that we can take upon ourselves, especially as we deal with the various things in this life. I want to begin as we talk about this lesson. Let's see. I got to turn it on first, I guess. Let's try it again. Okay, let's try it again. There we go. How we handle our circumstances of life is greatly determined by our mindset. You hear me teach that all the time. And it's wonderful that the book of Psalms is one of God's resources to help us to have a proper mindset. And so what we're going to do tonight, we're going to take the book of Psalms from different avenues. Tonight we're going to just go through various psalms dealing with specific topics. At other times, we're going to go through some of the psalms in detail and see how that can apply to us. And it's not going to be week after week. What I've learned over the years of preaching, I try to avoid series that run on and on and on because that gets people quite discouraged usually. So what I do is I do a series, but one lesson here, one lesson there, one lesson here. And that's how this is going to be from time to time. So as we begin, as we look at this, go to Psalms 119, 162. We'll be in Psalms all night with the exception of one section. And Psalms 119, we have recorded for us here concerning the value of the Word of God. And 162, of course, we're all familiar with that. The 119th Psalm is exclusively talking to the precious value of the Word of God. But in 162, it tells us here, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Now, we can all visualize in our mind what treasure is. But he said, I value your word as one who finds great treasure. Because the treasures, the teachings within the book of Psalms will be able to give us the peace to handle whatever comes our way. Because let's face it, no Christian is always in a spiritual high. No Christian is always happy. And if you say that, I kind of don't believe you, because that's not how life is. So therefore, when we look at the Psalms, it can deal with those times where we might be having difficulty and other circumstances. But not only on difficulties, the Psalms over and over again talk about the greatness of our God. So let's talk about that to begin with. To meditate upon the God that we serve. I think that'll help us to appreciate who we are. As we meditate upon the God we serve, let's begin by going to Psalms 8. Back to Psalms 8. We have recorded for us, and again, this is not an exhaustive list of these topics, but in Psalms 8, we have recorded for us concerning the greatness of God. Verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Before I read verse 9, I want to stop here for a moment. So we don't have to worry about the sci-fi series where big bees or big insects are going to devour us. Very clearly it tells us in this psalm that he has created man, and man has dominion over all the things that he created in this world. But as we look at verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And again, you have to stop and consider what the psalmist is saying. You look at our creation, and then you look at us. How wonderful it is that he created man, that we could have dominion over this creation while we are here. But he brought everything into existence. As we look at God and his greatness, Let's go to Psalms 139. In Psalms 139 and verse 14. Now, I know those of us who are getting older might disagree to a limited degree, but I hope we don't. Because in Psalms 139:14, talking about God's creation, verse 14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body is amazing, is it not? Now, I know as we get older, it starts to deteriorate. That's what happens because we don't live on this earth forever. But you think of God's creation and the human body and all the minute parts of our body, and they all play a part in our body. For instance, I noticed a young fellow one time when we were in sports, we used to shave our legs because we had to tape our legs. Well, one decided to shave his eyebrows. That was a dumb thing to do. You know, we don't think much of eyebrows, do we? But boy, when you're sweating, they're valuable. Because that eyebrow stops the perspiration going from straight down into the eyelid, and it gears it off to the side. Again, it wasn't just put there because God had nothing to do. We talk about, and again, I know nothing about the body other than I know it keeps on going. What kind of pump can you get that is as good as the heart that pumps all the blood through us over and over and over again? And it just goes on and on. And our eyes, take any part of your body. And it's amazing. And, you know, we become enamored with computers. But guess what? Who made computers? Man. And how are we able to do that? Because of our mind. And we know so little about our mind, even to this day, it's mind-boggling how wonderfully and marvelously we are made. You have young parents who are going to have a newborn, and they take those testing to see the baby inside of her body, how wonderful that is. Those of you who have experienced childbirth, and I'm glad I did so from a man's standpoint, because it was, I know how rough it was for me, I can't imagine how rough it was for her. But it was a wonderful, wonderful time. How'd that come to being? God. God created us. How wonderful that is. I didn't come out of any slime pit, and neither did you. But let's move on. Psalms 118, and I want to make a suggestion on this psalm. Let's go to Psalms 118, and I want us to begin, as you go to this psalm, to look at verse 24. Okay, the reason I want you to begin with verse 24, because if you look at cards, you know, you're going to send a card to somebody, inevitably you're going to see a religious card that has Psalm 118:24 quoted. Very familiar passage to us. And Psalms 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You've seen that before, have you not, as you've looked through cards and want to send someone a card. And that principle is true. But that's really not the context of that passage. Because to get the context of that passage, you have to go back a few verses. In Psalms 118:22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day, I believe the context goes back to Christ coming into this world and being the chief cornerstone. This is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Just want to suggest that to you. Now, will I get a card that has that passage? Yes, because God, if we are given another day, who gave us that day? God gave us that day. So I'm not against using that verse for that principle. But I'd like to suggest, if you never thought about this before, if you go back to look at the context, it's talking about that stumbling stone. It's talking about that cornerstone. How do I know that? Keep your finger in Psalms. We're going to come back to Psalms very quickly. But let's go to two New Testament passages. In Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. So yes, do I get cards that have that? Absolutely. Because each day is a blessing from God. But I believe it's talking about something far greater, and that is the Christ who came and became the chief cornerstone. We have Matthew 21 and verse 42, this statement. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, he became the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes." And by the way, if you have a side reference or center reference, it's going to take you back to Psalms 118. Also, if you turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. Now, please, don't misunderstand me. Can I use that to praise God he gave us another day? Absolutely. But let's not forget the two verses behind that, what was talked about before that. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 16, we have recorded for us here a very simple statement that again goes back to this psalm. Acts chapter 4, we have recorded, and I'm sorry, 16, I said verse 11. "This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." So when you go to Psalms 118, I thank God for every day we have because he gave us that day. But most of all, I thank God for that chief cornerstone. You know why? Otherwise, we wouldn't be here tonight. Without that happening, we wouldn't be here. But let's go to one more. Let's go to one more before we move on. And that's God's mercy. Thank goodness for God's mercy. I'm working on a sermon, Mercy, Grace, Faith. Three important words. But without mercy, there'd be no grace. And if there's no grace, there's no need for faith. We have in Psalms 136, let's go back to Psalms now, Psalms 136. And this whole psalm, the whole Psalm 136, is basically talking about the mercy of God, the entire psalm. I've just listed some of the passages there. Psalm 136, 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for for his mercy endures forever." Verse 4, "To him alone who does great works, for his mercy endures forever." And then verse 26, we have this, "Oh, give thanks to God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever." Again, talking about his mercy. Without God's mercy, we'd be forever lost. Even as we've become Christians, we need God's mercy because we fall from time to time. Thank be to God we have a God of mercy. That does not eliminate judgment. We'll talk that about more when we use that lesson. But with his mercy. Let's move on. Trusting in God. Do we trust in God regardless what our circumstance is? You know who shows trust? Small children. You ever notice that? Little tiny children, two-year-olds, three-year-olds. But as we get older, our trust has a question mark by it sometimes, does it not? You take a small child and play the stupid game, "Well, you just drop back and I'll catch you." Guess what? You're not doing that with me. First of all, I'm too big, you might not catch me. But you do that with a small child, especially with their mom or dad, guess what? They'll just fall back because they've got full trust you're going to catch them. We need God to catch us. We've got to have full trust in him. I know it's mind-boggling, but he cares for you personally. He cares for me personally. It's not like our system in society, and don't misunderstand. I'm glad I could have Medicare. Glad for that. But to them, we're just a number. To God, we're not just a number. We're a soul worth saving. And he is concerned. So let's talk about some passages about trusting in God. And Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. Psalms 9, verses 9 and 10. We have recorded for us here about trusting in God. "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Let me give you an illustration. Did the Lord forsake Job? No. Now, some of Job's prayers weren't answered the way he wished, but he didn't forsake him. The Lord will not forsake us. There'll be times in our life we're just scratching our head, wondering, how did this happen? But he won't forsake us. Well, we have to be careful is we don't forsake him, but that's a different lesson. Trust in the Lord. Let's go to another passage. In Psalms 18, let's go to Psalms 18 and verse 30. We have recorded about trusting in God. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who what? All who trust him. Now, God gives me responsibility, and I have to make right choices, but I need to have a trust in God. I bring that up because we live in a society that is at least questionable right now, wouldn't you agree? We don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I know this, God's still in control. God is still in control. Trust him. Of course, we need to do our part to make things better, but regardless, if we do our part, try to make things better and they don't get better, trust in God. That's the thing we need to remember. And Psalms 56, in Psalms 56, in verses 3 and 4, we have recorded again concerning trust. And again, this is not an exhaustive list. When I am afraid, I will trust you. Well, stop. Do you ever get afraid? Oh, no, I'm a Christian. Do Christians get afraid sometimes? Yeah. When I am afraid, it says, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Trust in God. He knows what you're going through. Let me ask you this. Did Stephen trust God? He sure did. He went through a difficult time. He lost his life. But he trusted in God. Wasn't afraid what man can do to him. Again, let's go to another passage. In Psalms 125, 1 and 2. Psalms 125, 1 and 2. We have recorded for us here in Psalms 125, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As in the mountains surrounded Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. The Lord surrounds his people. But don't be like that wild calf and jump over the fence. You see, when you go out of his realm of protection, now you got a problem. You stay in this realm of protection, you do what's right, trust him. He knows what's going on. Inevitably, ultimately, you'll win. Now you say, oh, that's easy for you, Chuck, because you haven't gone through nothing. I hate when you say something like that because you don't know what I've gone through. I don't know what you've gone through. But I know this much. I can read about my brothers in the first century, what they've gone through. Did God ever abandon those who were faithful? Did he ever abandon those who were faithful? Now, some of them lost their lives. I'm also studying a lesson on Revelation. Some of them lost their lives, but he never abandoned them. And when they cried in Revelation 6, how long, O Lord, will you avenge us? You go late in Revelation, and they're victorious. They were avenged. You see my point? Trust in God. We don't understand all that's going on. In Psalm 62, in Psalm 62, 7 and 8, we have recorded for us here, again, the idea that we should put our trust in God. We talk about it. Oh, I trust God. Do you really? Do you really trust God when things are rough? Do you really trust God when your teenager's out driving and they haven't come home that everything's going to be okay? Do you really trust God as your loved ones line up in the hospital and you don't know what the report's going to be from the doctor? Do we really trust him? It's easy to talk about, but do we do it? In Psalm 62, verse 7, it tells us this, in God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Do we believe that? Trust him. But let's go to another area. As we look at the Psalms, God is our help and strength. I think one of the problems we have as Americans, we're very independent. And so independent, sometimes we become independent of God. Look at what I've accomplished and realize we really didn't accomplish anything unless God allowed us to. Now, a lot of people won't accept that, but that's the truth. You know, I look at how I became a preacher. Was not done mystically, not done miraculously. But if you would have asked me coming out of high school that I was going to preach the gospel for over 45 years, I said, who are you talking about? But lo and behold, one thing, I won't give you all the details, but one thing led to another. We came out of denominationalism. We obeyed the gospel. We started growing. I went to, quote, a preacher's training program. Then I worked with an older preacher in Minnesota, and the rest is history. Was that by man? No, you just follow the course. Trust in God. It's so funny because when my relatives heard I was preaching, first thing they asked, well, which seminary did you go to? Well, where'd you get your credentials? And I would tell them, well, I didn't go to a seminary. Well, then you can't be a preacher. Okay. But 2 Timothy 2 chapter 2 verse voids that out because you need to be faithful men who are able to teach others. And it's knowing the scriptures. But I trust God. Now, through our life as preaching, was everything simple? No. Not everybody has been as kind, as good-hearted as this congregation, especially financially. There were some rough times, but you know what? God never allowed us to starve. How about in your lives? Can you look back in your lives on things that, how did that happen? Well, maybe because God's there, giving you strength to move forward. Maybe you made the right choices, and you move forward. Is that possible? Trust God. Do we believe that? Now, when I talk about trust God, also make the right choices. Learn what God's word has to say and make the right choices. Don't keep on making bad choices and trust God that God's going to bail you out. Make the right choices, but trust God. Let's go to some passages. Psalms 121, 1 through 3. We have recorded for us here in Psalms 121, beginning in verse 1, it tells us this. I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now stop and think of that. If the one who made heaven and earth, is he able to help us? I guess he's qualified, isn't he? He goes on to state, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never sleep, nor never slumber or sleep. Now, again, the qualification is you have to remain faithful. But as you remain faithful, God's not going to abandon us. I've always said, the faithful child of God, listen to what I say, the faithful child of God is never alone. Now, he might have no other human being surrounding him, but the faithful child of God is never alone because God won't abandon him. Do you believe that? Then you can get through anything. Let's go to another passage. Psalms 46. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. Well, yeah, but that's when things are going easy, that all makes sense. Let me tell you, the Psalms were written at times that things were not going easy. They were written at times where there was difficulty, and that's how they got through it. In Psalms 46, 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth is removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Notice, we will not fear. If the earth be, well, I tell you what, if the earth be removed, that's a pretty major thing, right? We're not going to fear. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't take precautions. Let's take, for instance, when we come into hurricane season again. If a hurricane is heading straight this way, should we take precautions? Absolutely. Be silly if we didn't. But I get to see people in different circumstances get so fretful. Oh, no, the seasons are getting worse and worse and worse. And they may be, but let's deal with it one season at a time. And trust God. I have read books as to when you retire, how much money you should have. And by the way, God has blessed me. I have nowhere near the amount they say. Nowhere near the. I'm not going to worry about that. Just take it one day at a time and trust God. And do what I'm supposed to do. Now, there's my part, doing what I'm supposed to do, but trust God. We get all fretful because we don't look at God as our help and our strength. We think we've got to do it on our own. And those who think they've got done it on their own is like the rich man. When the thing is done, he's got nothing. Isn't that amazing? So trust God, not your riches, because they might be gone. Psalms 55, 22. Boy, if I had a lot of money, everything would be okay. Not necessarily. No, in fact, it would be worse. You know why that is? Because you'd have some false friends. Because if they found out you had money, guess what? They want your money. In Psalms 55 and verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Look at the next phrase. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. I like that last part, don't you? Now, that's not talking about once saved, always saved. As long as I maintain following his standard of righteousness, I will not be moved. Isn't that what it's telling us? Do we believe that? Are there going to be times I have sorrow? Absolutely. Are there going to be times that I might even have some doubts? Absolutely. But don't fail to trust God. Get your strength from him. Let's go to another. Psalms 147. Psalms 147. We have recorded for us here as we come to the end of the Psalms. Verse 3 through 6. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, I want to stop here. Have you ever been brokenhearted? Probably. If you've lost a loved one, you're brokenhearted. And that ache never totally goes away. You know, people say, well, when will it get better? Well, you stay focused to God, but you'll have to deal with that heartache for the rest of your life. That's just the way life goes. He heals the brokenhearted. He doesn't make everything okay. Otherwise, none of our loved ones would die. Is that not so? If that was the case, they'd never die. We've got loved ones who have died. We've got brethren who have died. But he heals the broken. It doesn't take away the fact that you're going to always have that section of you that is going to yearn for them. Correct? But he's going to get you through it. He's going to get you through it. How wonderful is that, that God even concerns about us in that? But he does. And I'm not wishing bad on anyone, but bad comes to everyone. Comes to everyone at some time or another. I know if parents won't send their kids or bring their kids to a funeral home because they don't want them to see death. Personally, I think that's a bad choice. They need to understand life has these consequences, that there is death, and you have to deal with those type of things. My God who I serve, the God who you serve, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. He understands, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. The Lord lifts up the humble. Now, one way he does that is by this book we're studying. He lifts up the humble. Let me give you an illustration on how important God's word is. Psalms 119, we're going to read two passages real quickly. Psalms 119, and we're going to go to verse 25 first, and then we're going to go down to verse 28, or 22 to verse 28. I'm sorry, verse 25 says this. Let's see if I'm on the right psalm. No wonder why this makes no sense. I'm at Psalms 116. That ain't going to work too good for me, is it? In Psalms 119, verse 25, my soul clings to dust. Revive me according to your word. I want to read the second one, then I'm going to share something with you. Psalms 119, 28. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. An event that'll never leave my mind. Many years ago, I got a call from a sister in Christ who left the congregation. She was part of our congregation, but she moved away some 30, 40 miles. Got a call from her family, and they were crying on the phone, so I knew something was wrong. I thought this good sister who I've known all these years has passed away, but no, that wasn't the case. Her grandson committed suicide. I don't know if any of you who have experienced something like that, but that is horrible. It is unexplainable in words. Now, I've got grandchildren, and I can't imagine getting that phone call. She got that phone call that her 23-year-old grandson, who financially was successful, that everything, as you looked at his life from the outside, that everything was going just fine, but as we know, it must not have been going just fine because he committed suicide. When I first saw her, because she asked me to perform the message at the funeral, when I first went to see her, I had absolutely no words to say. What do you say in a time like that? I believe she experienced what we read in these two verses in Psalms 119, that her soul was clinging to dust, that her soul melted from heaviness. And that's the passages I gave her. And there was tears all around. But you know what? God gets you even through those difficult times. And one thing she could do that I could never do is if, and I hope I never can do, is when others were in that situation similar to that, she could help in a way that no others could help. That's where you take tragedy and make it into a benefit. One of the saddest things, one of the biggest funerals I've ever seen. I don't know how many cars were in that procession, but it was sad. It's sad to me even think about it. Man, I hope and pray I never get a call like that. Another sad thing about that, her grandson could care less about religion. That's sad too. I'm not trying to be God, but what I try to reinforce in her mind, remember those good times you had with him, because she spent a lot of time with her grandson. Keep your mind focused unto those good times you had with him, and just let that kind of review in your mind. But it would have been so much better had I been able to say, he was a faithful Christian. I'm not judging him. That's for God to do. But that is overwhelming. Now, let me tell you the rest of her story. She lived on for 7 or 8 years beyond that. And she was like the rock of Gibraltar on serving the Lord. Amen to that. Could we do that? Could you do that? Could I do that? Or would we become embittered and blame God? She knew it wasn't God's fault. She was grateful for God's family to help her through this. Till the day she died, I never told her I understand, and I hope I never will understand what she went through. But I say that to say this, every one of us in this audience has gone through difficult times. You can use that when others go through similar times to help get them through it and go forward by the study and application of his word. Doesn't that make sense? But let's go on. In Psalms 119, 143 and 144. 119, 143 and 144. We have recorded for us here in these two passages, again speaking of God and the value of his word. It tells us here in 143, trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I shall live. Notice, do you have trouble and anguish overwhelm you? I mean, let's face it, those of us that get older, and you go for your six-month or your yearly checkup, what are you waiting to hear? That something bad is going to be said, right? You're just waiting to hear that day they're going to say something bad. And hopefully that never happens. But if it does, thank goodness to God that we can have the strength to go through. God has blessed my life so many times, it's just amazing. When I thought I didn't need any medication and quit taking them, and then a year later I had a massive heart attack, and then the one doctor came in and he said, you're not a candidate for heart surgery. And I told that to my family, but then we had a smart doctor, a smart alecky doctor, who thought he could do everything. He came in, grace of God perhaps, oh, we can do that. And lo and behold, it's 9 years later, I'm still preaching. But even if I didn't, thank goodness that God gives me the strength, gives you the strength, and all of us go through. Some of you are going through very difficult things physically wise, enormous things. And I know the pain's got to be rough. I'm not dealing with what you have. But God's not abandoned you. You take it to the best. You put your strength and trust in Him. You keep on feeding on the Word of God. And He'll perhaps give you more days here, but when you're gone from here, you get eternal life. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here tonight. That's just not a saying I say. I believe that. When I'm no longer here, if I'm faithful, I have eternal life by the blood of Christ. And then look at, you say, oh, we're coming to the end. That's right. For tonight's lesson, I'm going to just give you a few, four passages that I like a lot in the Psalms. The first one is this, Psalms 34. Let's go to Psalms 34. I hope this has been informative to you. No more than informative. Go back and study. Use some other passages in those areas that you like from the Psalms. In Psalms 34, verses 9 through 11, we have recorded for us here, oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lion lacks and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Here's verse 11. Parents, listen to this, parents. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord doesn't come automatically. It comes by being taught. Maybe that's why sometimes we're having a difficulty to reach others, because we're having generations of people growing up not fearing God, not even thinking of God, not even giving Him any time. So the fear of the Lord, how important that is in all of our lives. Let's go on to the next one. In Psalm 73, let's go to Psalm 73, 25 and 26. Psalm 73, 25 and 26. It tells us here, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Who do I have in heaven but you? You know, it's funny, sometimes preachers like to throw around names who they know. You know, they'll give names who preachers known all over. I know this person, I know that person. You ever see that happen? And they start, and I will say, well, yeah, I've met them, but they wouldn't know me. I met them once or twice, but they'd have no idea who I am. But then I tell them this, but there is someone I do know. I know God, my Father, and He knows me. How wonderful is that? That God knows me, and He knows you, and He gives us the strength. Let's go on. In Psalms 119, 165. 119, 165. So when you become overwhelmed, take time and reflect upon the Psalms. Very possible, very beneficial situation if you do that. In Psalms 119, 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing will cause them to stumble. great peace those who love your law. Again, I don't get into politics other than to say this. Our political scene all around is going nuts. It's going nuts. It's none of my business who you vote for. That's totally your decision. But one thing I don't trust on, I don't trust in politics. I trust in God. God knows what we're going through. And if he allows difficult times to come, if he allows that, then he'll give me the strength to deal with that. If he allows better times to come, praise God for that. All I know, don't fret over what's happening. People are getting so overwhelmed against one another. How sad that is. I hope that don't happen amongst us as Christians. I don't think it will be from how I know you. Because you know what, people? Remember this. God is still in control. You know, when Israel, when Judah was taken to Babylonian captivity for 70 years, right? Was God still in control? Absolutely. You got the 400 years of silence before Christ came. Was God still in control? Absolutely. You got the persecution of the Romans and Christians being put to death. Was God still in control? Absolutely. Is God still in control today? Absolutely. That's the God who is your father and my father. That's the God who allowed his son to die for us. One last passage. Psalms 116. Probably this is the most important thing remembered of Psalms 116. In Psalms 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I love that passage. One of his saints passed away this past week at Valrico. That's precious in the sight of the Lord. Will you be precious in the sight of the Lord when you die? Or will you be among the wicked? Only you can choose that. But if you choose the latter, remember this, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. Because God wants us to do what? God wants us to be saved. How wonderful. It's mind-boggling to me why God went through the effort to give us this book. Because he doesn't need us. He does not need you and I. But boy, does he love us. Giving his son, giving his testimony, giving his words of wisdom. And we know everything about Star Wars. We know everything about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We know a lot of things about AI, which scares me. But we know so little about God. What's the matter with us? Not you personally, but our society. What is the matter with us? No wonder why our society is going the wrong direction. They've let this book sit too long. Don't let that happen to you. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, we didn't give a lesson on that, but if you are aware that you need to repent and be baptized, the remission of your sins, as they were on the day of Pentecost, that at baptism you come into contact with the blood of Christ after you give that good confession, the brethren here will assist you in doing that. Again, it's got to be your choice. Don't let no one pressure you to do it. That's got to be your choice. And then, of course, after baptism, let's keep on growing. I'm glad we can be here. You know, I've been to both sides congregations. I've been to congregations who only met on Sunday morning, and I've been to congregations for many years who meet Sunday morning and Sunday night. And both have the right. That's the autonomy of the church. That doesn't make one more spiritual than the other. My personal preference, I like the two times. I like seeing each other two times on Sunday. It's good for us to be here, to encourage and grow. So if you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us help you as we stand and as we sing.